and welcome to episode 39 of the Divided by Werewolf show. So, Mitch, I have to tell you that there's a guy I work with, and he watches all my my streams, like, the day after. And so he's like, I saw you playing with a friend of yours, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, it's weird. He's like, how long have you been in Atlanta? And I was like, 13, it'll be 13 years February. And he's like, I could really hear like the mixture of like Southern accent and Eastern accent in your voice when you were streaming with him. He's like, I don't ever hear that like at work. And I was like, oh, I said, yeah, I tend to take on like the accent of people like I'm with. So Mitch has a Southern accent. Ooh. So it goes to that. I said, you should see like when I get heated at home with my kids, it's all ain'ts and y'all like, I'm going to run up one side of your head and back down the other. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
Well, I do the same thing, though. It's funny. I don't know what that – it's not personality mirroring.
No.
I guess it is to an extent, but I do the same thing, and I don't mean to.
I don't either, and my wife is always like, why are you talking like that? And I don't even notice him doing it, and I'm not trying to, like – be fake or nothing. It just happened. Like, I just
right. I don't either.
To take it on whatever is
there
around.
Was a, you know, the one time I went up north to visit my brother, we did Philadelphia one day and several days in New York, and I wanted everybody to sound like what I thought New Yorkers sounded like, and nobody did. And finally his friend April, who I loved her so much, I just wanted to follow her around. She's from Brooklyn.
Yo.
And she talked like what I thought everybody would talk like.
Yeah. So, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And so the more – and so this is so – I felt like such an idiot because I heard it. Because usually when I start doing that, when I start sounding like people, I don't really hear it.
Yeah.
I heard this. Yeah. I was like – I was saying something and all of a sudden I go, New York. I was like – why the fuck did I just say it like that?
Yeah. my roommate all through college was from Pennsylvania, like outside of Philadelphia. And he, when he gets irritated, he would go, oh, come on. And that's how I say it now. Like if I get pissed off, that like especially mostly when gaming, that's how I'll say it. That's not how people here say that. That's not how people in upstate New York say that. That's how he says it. But I lived with him for 3 years. So now that's how I say it. It's weird. It's weird. Okay, so we're going to do our favorite movies, and doesn't necessarily mean to be best movies. It could just be it's our favorite movies of 2017. We're going to get into that. But before I do that, I need to – so last night I go to play PUBG and for reasons I still don't understand because I got the game because Mitch is like, you should get PUBG. And I was like, yeah, I should. And then he's like, I'm never going to play with you. that's me giving you some shit.
I know.
I was like, I'll play it. And I went to stream like I do every night. And I couldn't connect to the Twitch servers. So I was like, no big deal. You know, it's not like I've been doing, you know, all that well or nothing. So I'm not going to worry about it. So I get in this match by myself and I have a new place now. Like I found that the space, the river in between the two islands is just a really good place. Cause there's a bunch of houses along there and, you can, typically find a boat fairly easily. So you can get, you know, go in some of the houses and there's usually not people there. And then you can get what you need and then you can go to a boat and you'll be good to go. So I did that and I found this place, but it was like an apartment building. So I had to, there was like a lot of rooms to go through. So I end up like getting stuff. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, it's a bombing zone. And I was like, what do I care? It's never where I am. No, it was where I was this time. So I'm running from one house to the other. Don't they farts start fucking dropping bombs everywhere? And I was like, are you kidding me right now? So I was like, okay, no problem. Like, I mean, there's probably nobody else running around in a bomb zone, so we're good to go. So I can get my shit, get out of the bomb zone, get into the boat. So I was like, okay, cool. So where I had to go, I was driving the boat, and I realized I am going to miss when the circle starts closing. So the circle starts closing, and I'm in the boat, and I'm taking damage. Now, one of the things I learned after the fact is that you take less damage, like while the circle is closing, you take less damage. Once the circle meets the white circle, you take more damage. So if the circle is closing and you're outside the circle, like in this case, maybe it was like 0.05%. But once it meets the white circle, if you're still outside it, it doubles. And now you'll take like 1% damage.
Okay.
So I wasn't taking too much damage while I was in the boat. But I still, you know, didn't like the fact that I was in the boat. So long story short, I was fine. I got back into the circle. I see a care package drop. And I was like, I'm going to go get that care package. It's in the water. Just about to get to the care package. I see somebody drive up in a Jeep. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not getting sniped in this boat.
Right.
I'm just going to stay in the boat. So stay where I am, circle shrinks, circle shrinks, circle shrinks, and then I'm like, okay, I see this little spot where I could still be in the circle and be under a bridge right next to some rocks. So I was like, I'm going to go there because this way I'm covered, right? Because nobody ever tries to do anything with people under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm on the bridge, I hear some gunshots, I hear some cars moving, but I was like, I don't give a fuck. So I jump out of the boat and I'm just kind of like hanging out by the rocks. The circle is going to shrink and I decide I'm going to get back in the boat. I go back in the boat and doesn't some motherfucker start shooting at me? So I'm like, where the fuck is this guy? He was on the shore shooting at me while I was trying to get back in the boat. So I was like, okay, well that strategy is now gone. I can't get back into the boat. So I swam onto the rocks. And I figure he can't come near where I am. He's outside the circle. He's going to be worried about getting back into the circle.
Right.
Circle's about to shrink. I can't climb these fucking rocks. And I was like, yep. I've already had this happen. I had this happen in an earlier match. Happened with you and I. So I am just, I'm jumping. I'm just trying to jump as quickly, trying to find somewhere that the geometry will let me jump on these goddamn rocks. Finally make it up to the top of the rocks, and with very little time to spare, I get outside the circle, into the circle. But it's all like open space, and I just hear gunshots and people running around, and there's like a road to cross, and there's a house, so I run and I get in the house and I'm good to go. But then the circle shrinks again, and I see there's two houses off in the distance. And I'd been there before earlier in the week. One of them I went into and I died. The first one I was fine. Second one I went into and I got killed. Guy was hiding in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like – and they're good-sized houses. Each one is like three floors. And I was like, they are bound to be filled with people.
Right.
But I didn't have a choice. I see to my right – I'm running and this guy in a buggy shows up. And I actually hid behind a tree and he didn't see me. and then there's other people, you know, shooting, people showing up in Jeeps and shooting. And I'm just like, I just see a big fucking open field. I have a pistol and that's about it. No helmet, no vest, no nothing. Maybe I have a gas mask on. So I run across the field. I get into the house. And at this point, it's down to like maybe 12 people, right? In the house, I find a micro Uzi and some ammo. And I'm like, okay, good to go. Get upstairs, go in this room. It doesn't have a door to close. And I was like, fuck. Find another room. It's got a door to close. Meanwhile, it's just getting – like the count is just getting lower and lower. Finally, the count gets down to like six people. And the circle starts shrinking. And I'm in this room lying down on my belly with the micro Uzi in full auto. Thank you for that tip.
Oh, yeah.
I see it get down. I hear some shots. Goes down to five. Here's some more shots, goes down to six, or goes down to four. So it's down to four people. And the circle is literally to where if I scoot back 6 inches, I'm outside the circle. That's how close it was on these two houses. I start hearing footsteps and doors opening. Clump, clump, clump. Clump, clump, clump. And I was like, oh shit, this motherfucker is in the house and he is going door to door. My heart was pounding like nothing I've ever seen. Like nothing. He came and found me and I like full clip micro Uzi into that motherfucker. Like, and I was positioned in a way that once the door opened, he wouldn't have seen me right away. He had to come in the door, and it was like, brrrah! He didn't even know what hit him. Didn't even know what hit him. Just dead. Meanwhile, the circles have stopped shrinking, or so I thought. I loot what I can from this motherfucker. I get two assault rifles, a frying pan, helmet, all this shit. I'm like, I'm good to go. Switch to one assault rifle, no ammo. Switch to the second assault rifle, no ammo. I had left it all on his body. And I'm like, I don't know where this other guy is. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't care. I got a silenced pistol. I got a frying pan. We're going to go see how bulletproof this frying pan is. I'm going to fucking hunt this cat down. And it's just me and him, one other person. When I killed this guy, it must have been that the other person died too. I didn't know that when you get to a certain point at the end of a PUBG match, the final circle closes in on itself. There is there is no more circle.
Wow.
It's all blue. So you either need to find the other person and kill them like immediately, or you need to have more healing items on you than they have on them, and you can apply them before you die. I had no idea what was happening. Next thing you know, and it doesn't say circles closing in 10 minutes. It says circles closing in 15 seconds. Circles closing in 10 seconds. I'm still looting shit.
Yeah.
So I died. But second place – you know, one kill, I ended up getting like 300-400 points. It was I was shaking. I ran upstairs. I told my, it was fucking amazing. Like, I mean, between the bombs and getting shot in the water, I can't climb the rocks. Yeah. You know, like,
right. You're fucking Rambo, dude.
I thought for sure that I was going to die on those cliffs. I thought that I was going to get sniped running across the field. I mean, I just got lucky that, and then there was nobody in that house. Like, that house hadn't even been touched because there was still stuff like on a table.
Yeah.
It was great. It was, and then nobody saw it. Like, nobody saw it because I wasn't streaming. That was the worst.
That sucks.
That was the absolute worst part, is the fact that I, when I was sitting there with the Uzi just on the door, like, I'm like, I just was like, the sweat was like dripping down. I'm like, and I'm just like, okay, it's cool. Like, and then when I heard the footsteps, cause I was like, if he's got a grenade, I was like, okay, I'd hear it. Like, if he was opening doors and throwing grenades, he doesn't have, you know what I mean? I would hear that.
Yeah.
And I just have to hope that this thing, this little micro Uzi, is going to be enough to cut through him, because I have nothing. And if I leave him even with the slightest bit of health, I'm done.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy. It was crazy. And then I got a gas mask in my crate. I got like a half gas mask in my crate.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. But like, I want the camera that the PC version has, because in the PC version, if you, anybody within like a kilometer radius of you, you can see like where they had been. Like, the guy who won, first of all, I wanted to see who it was and where they were, and I wanted to see, well, how did they get here? Because I took a very roundabout way of getting to that house. How did they get to that house? That's what I want. And I hope we get that soon, because I think that would be cool. But hopefully we can play together at some point soon.
Yeah.
All right. And you and Andrew and Diptastic, Gene, you didn't have nearly as good as a
No. No, we did not. But it would take too long to tell.
No worries. Okay. So as I mentioned before, this is our final kind of end of 2017 show. And similar to how we did the game show, we're going to talk about movies. And it's not necessarily like the best movies of the year. I guess they could be. Most likely, there's going to be some overlap there, but maybe it's just like our favorite movies is probably I do have a favorite though, and I'll save. I'm not going to try to save it till the end, but we'll see how the rest of the list goes. And I think we're going to have some overlap. I mean, if y'all been listening to the show kind of all year long, a lot of this stuff that we talk about here, you'll have already heard about. So yep. There shouldn't really be any surprises. I think it was a good year for movies.
Yeah.
I think that it was a better year for games, but it was still a pretty good year for movies. And thankfully, a lot of this stuff that we'll be talking about, I've had the opportunity to watch again, since the first time we talked about it, to see if things have changed. We counted before we started the show, and I have 17 movies on my list, and you have 16. So right. I'd like to hear what your first one is, just to know if right off the bat we've got overlap.
Sure. So this one's we didn't really talk about it per se, but we kind of did when we did an episode where we did our favorite Batman movies, and so I thought I would mention the fact that I have seen it. I don't know how many times at this point. I fucking love Lego Batman.
You know, I actually had forgotten about that one, and I was going to put it on the list, and it didn't make it just because of everything else. But I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, I just – every time I watch it, I laugh at something still. I laugh at something that I've either missed or it didn't strike me as funny originally, but now I don't know what it is. I just, the movie is so well written, and the voice acting is so good, and it's just like, I like the Lego movie. I didn't like freak out about it the way a lot of people did, but this one is my Lego movie. Like, I get it.
Yeah, this I is still the one haven't seen Lego movie. I have it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, like I bought it, and you know, I saw it and I was like, yeah, it was cute, it was whatever. But it turns out when you slap a Batman coat of paint on it, that's exactly what I want. Like, it is fucking hilarious. Well, and it was a good movie. Yeah. So that was the first one I had.
Okay. So I feel the same way. Like, but again, when I was going through the list, I just was like, all right, well,
yeah, I understand
other stuff.
I had to cut things too, which, it hurt to cut, but that one I was like, I can't, because I've seen it. So, and that's the other part of it. I was like, well, is it technically, like you said, it's not technically the best movie of the year, but when I look at this list, even that I have written, if you ask me right now, what do I want to watch? It's one of the five that I could watch right now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So for me, I'm going to pick one that I watched recently. My wife and I watched it over break. Listen to me, it sounds like I'm at school, over vacation, and that is came out late in the year, and that is Logan Lucky. Have you seen that one?
Not yet, no. Unfortunately, no.
It's Steven Soderbergh directed it, and it's got Adam Driver and
Channing Tatum,
and I am completely blanking on names. James Bond.
Yeah. Daniel Craig.
And it is it's funny because they kind of like advertise it to see how the other half steals. Like, it's supposed to be, oh, these poor people, you know, they rob, you know, they're robbing a racetrack. But the movie, I felt like, I think it would be very easy in a movie like this to, because of sometimes the way that people feel about folks in the South, to look down on the characters simply because they were in the South. And I don't feel like this movie does that. They do have, like, Daniel Craig has like a couple of associates. I can't remember if they're his brothers or not. And they kind of paint them as idiots, but they're not. They're actually really good at their job. They're just different. And I really liked how this movie was a heist movie, but it was everybody in it was still really kind of smart and good at their job. It just was a Southern, like a Southern fried heist movie, but not like pandering or looking down on folks. It was just a really like fun, kind of well done movie. You could see the pitch where they were like, okay, Ocean's 11, fewer people, but, you know, kind of like in the South.
Right.
Yeah, it's I love just about everybody involved in it. It's one of the, like, few things, like, it's one of the first things I'll watch as I'm catching up. I just didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. And it was, you know, it you know, not to it's not unheard of or a spoiler, I think, to kind of like have a heist movie where they go, oh, at the end you get to see, you know, kind of what happened and, you know, what this person was doing or whatever.
Right.
And when they did that part, it was really well done. Like you weren't left kind of feeling like they cheated. That's the worst thing, right? Like when you watch a heist movie and you're like, well, that's bullshit. Like that they cheated. And it wasn't like that at all. So
cool.
Definitely watch that one. And then it's funny because the next night we watched, Hell or High Water. Have you seen that?
Oh, hell yeah. I've seen it. Oh, yeah.
And my wife she loved it. She thought it was great. Yeah. But we were watching Logan Lucky. I was like, we should watch Hell or High Water. I'm like, slightly different.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit. I'd fucking put that movie on this list if I could, but it was, unfortunately, the year was wrong. So.
All right. All right, so next up for me is one that a lot of people I've seen put fairly high on their list. And, of course, if you know anything about me, you'll understand why it's not higher on mine. But Logan is next.
I have that, too. Yep.
Yeah. I have that, too. I knew that would overlap. I don't know where you put it on the year.
I don't have a – like, I didn't do them numerically.
Yeah, me neither. But a lot of people have that one is, like, fairly high. And even if I were to put mine in numerical order, it's – probably not top 10 for me.
It's not my favorite superhero movie this year, I can tell you that much.
No, me neither. But
top 10?
Yeah.
Let me look. Yeah, no, not even top 10.
Mm-mm. So it's very good. It's the best X-Men movie, I think, if you want to put it in that camp. I thought it was great. I thought they did genius things like the Xavier having Alzheimer's or whatever, and you know, loved the violence, thought the language was a little over the top. Mm-hmm. And the only real issue I kind of had with it was a little bit of the pacing, because I felt like it was going at a fairly decent pace, and then he went to sleep and woke up halfway across the country.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that was fast. So it's like, I understand it's already over 2 hours. But that's a nitpick. It is what it is. But fucking great movie. Loved it. Loved the ending. You know, if that's his last, go at it as Wolverine, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the things that I liked about it is this idea that you can tell a story tied to continuity, but not bound by continuity.
Yep.
You know, the X-Men movies have played fast and loose with time, particularly these, you know, last ones.
Yeah.
And I liked this idea that you could tell a story in a universe, but not and reference things that happened, but not be so bound by it that it limits what you can do narratively. I thought that was great. The one thing that I wasn't a fan of was this idea that both Charles and Logan would put that family in danger,
because
they knew. I mean, they had to know.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
But anyway, but no, it was great. You know what you don't want is for it to, you know, you don't want the Deadpool effect. Like this was the first rated. This was the first movie as a result of the Deadpool effects. You're like, okay, no, this worked. But you don't want Guardians of the Galaxy 3, where it's like, fucking Rocket, you know, like, you know, you don't want that. So.
Let's use the right characters in our rated R movies, and Wolverine's definitely one of those.
Right, exactly. But that's on my list. Okay, so the next one, and this one was one that I had heard about, and my wife told me about it, and I bought it mostly for her. And that is The Big Sick, Kamal Nanjiani. It's the true story of him and his wife. And they had been dating. He broke up with her. And then she got sick, went into a coma. And then kind of him attending to her, with meeting her family for the first time when she's in this coma. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, it's again high on my list. It's one that I just didn't get a chance to watch it.
It has, and I won't tell it because I don't want to ruin it. It has the best joke of any movie this year.
Okay.
And those of you, I think, like, they're and I'll tell you, it's a 9/11 joke.
Okay.
And those of you who have seen it know what I'm talking about. My wife and I've not laughed so hard in a movie in a long time as I did at that joke, because of the when it was told, how everything about it. And it's just a really good movie. It's very heartfelt.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on in it. Like, he's torn. He's got his parents who are trying to get him into an arranged marriage. You know, her parents, they don't really know him. They're thrown into this medical situation where they don't really know what's going on. He had broken up with her, so it's not like they were in love. Like, he had broken up with her. It just happened to be that he was on her list of who to call in an emergency. And it's just a really, really good movie. So highly recommended.
I'm really looking forward to watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like probably the first three things I'll watch. Well, I don't know. I'm going to watch Billboards too, but I definitely want to watch that, Logan Lucky. I didn't see The Kingsman and The Big Sick.
I heard Kingsman was garbage, so that's the only reason why I didn't watch it for this list.
But I love the first one so much, I have to watch the second one.
So did I, but I heard that it was awful compared to the first
one. I did too. So, but anyway, all right, so next for me is one that we did an episode on, and I think I liked it more. I know I liked it more than you did, and it's, were I to do a top five, it doesn't quite make that, but it definitely makes top 10, and that's The Void.
Mm, okay.
I thought the Void, my initial viewing of The Void was confusing, but we talked about it on the episode. It throws so much shit together.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah, it plays better the second time. It makes more sense. Like, it's just like, yeah, there's so many characters. There's so much shit going on. There's monsters in the basement. There's a cult outside. But it's – I don't know. I guess – I know. It still sounds like there's too much shit going on. But for whatever reason, the second time it was even better. And I love the effects. I love just – the atmosphere of the movie, you know, the characters, it is what it is. You know, I don't know.
I think the characters were secondary. I think the influences were the main characters.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
I don't want to sound all like fucking pretentious film dude.
No. But God knows I'm not. Fuck. I like horrible fucking movies. But there's just something about it. If you take from little things from this movie, which if you watch this movie, you know what they're taking it from, because you've already seen those movies if you're interested in this movie.
Right.
And so when you do that, you've already got my attention. And then when you do it well, I'm sold. And so it's made a lot of people's top fives and this and that. It's not my top five, but I could watch it right now and see shit that I hadn't seen the first two or three times. I've seen it three times. And still, there's things that I didn't notice.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. You know, it's funny because when you mentioned it, I thought you were going to mention this next movie on my list, because when we first talked about it, I wasn't real high on it. But then the more I thought about it, what happened was I watched it and it just burrowed in and wouldn't let go of me. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about it, the more I thought about it, the more it freaked me out. That's the sign of a good horror movie, and that is The Black Coat's Daughter.
Yes!
When we first talked about it, I couldn't get past the casting. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, God damn. Like, I just kept thinking about that someone could be so lonely that they would welcome such a horrible thing into their life and then be just ripped apart when it left. And I was like, you know what? That is like, it's something that stays with you. Not because you're like, whoa, that was shitty. Like that much. I mean, we talked about that when, and I still think about it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's got to be there. That's got to be because it made enough of an impression to stick with me for as long as it did.
Yeah, that to this day, yeah, that movie. I still like I was because I've been especially since I've been watching a lot of lists and stuff like that. And some people say it came out, I guess, in 16 or whatever. I don't know. I saw it this year, so it counts for me for this year. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's the problem. Sometimes things technically get released, but if it's a small release or it's in a festival,
right?
But then actually had like a wider release. When I looked in the list of 2017 movies today, as terms of like an official quote unquote official release, it was in 2017.
Well, then it absolutely counts for me. But yeah, it's like it was so interesting because I got so wrapped up in it the week that I watched it that I was seeking out opinions because I was like, well, I loved it and you sort of didn't. And I was like, that interested me because usually we agree to an extent, more or less.
Right.
And so especially when something. When it's left to interpret, because the ending is sort of left to interpretation as to why things happen the way they did. And it was interesting to me to read other people's takes on it and how they differed from mine and how some people echoed mine. And it's just, it's one of those movies that, man, if you really think about it,
it's like,
it's fucking fucked up.
It is so fucked up.
And that's what I like.
Fucked up. So, yeah. Well, that's what you watch horror for, right? Like, I mean,
exactly.
I mean, I think that if you grew up like on slasher movies where what was fucked up was maybe the gore and the violence, and then you kind of move past that and you start, you want things that kind of fuck you in the head.
Yes.
That's,
I want a reaction. That's what I look for these days. Mm-hmm. If I don't react to something, I may enjoy it, but it is what it is. But if I have a reaction to something and I'm still thinking about it, you know, days or weeks later, that's what I want.
Yep. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, I had that one too. All right. So next up for me, we'll go with this one. And I know this one is sort of the most popcorn flick one on my list. But I fucking love Kong Skull Island.
I bought that for myself for Christmas and I gave it to my wife and I said, wrap it up. And when I opened it, I forgot I had bought it. I was like, oh, my God, thank you. And she had this look on her face like she thought – because, like, my family was here, and she thought I was being, like, fake and shitty because I was like, oh, thanks for buying it. And I told her later on, I was like, I genuinely forgot I gave that to you. I was so excited that I got Kong Skull Island for Christmas.
I'm telling you. Out of the 16 movies on this list, I have seen Kong Skull Island more than any other one.
I need to watch it again. The aesthetics of that movie are great. I love just the different shots, the way they line it up with the music, all that. Yep. I think it is. If you grew up watching monster movies,
yes,
it's fantastic. Yes.
It's such a throwback, and I love it so much for that. Yeah, people bitched about the skull crawlers or whatever, and the CG wasn't great on them, or they weren't a strong enough villain. Fuck you. This movie's about fucking King Kong versus Samuel L. Jackson. Those things were just in the background.
Yeah.
As a monster movie where you have this sort of nut job military guy who has a personal vendetta against a giant fucking gorilla.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, it is such a fun movie. I love it. There's gore. Like, it's not – but my kids love it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, the whole Cannibal Holocaust nod where the spider steps through the guy's fucking throat and shit. Oh, like, that's a little much. But at the same time, once my daughter knows there's a spider coming up, she covers her eyes anyway. I don't even think she's seen that yet.
Right.
But as far as everything else, if you just put two big monsters – punching the shit out of each other, then I'm going to be there every time. And this movie, I felt like for the missteps, and I love Godzilla, don't get me wrong, but for the couple of missteps I think maybe that Godzilla took, this movie, on the other hand, it hit all the high notes for me.
Right, and it sets things up for subsequent.
Yes.
You know, like I wasn't a fan of Godzilla because I just felt like I want actually Godzilla in my Godzilla movie. But when I watched this, and then I was like, okay, Like, I'm good. Like, if this is what you're telling me, we're gonna, this is a, like a, like a, an idea of what it's gonna be, then I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's it. And it didn't make my list only because I was like, well, shit, I could write movies all day. Like,
yeah, me too. Like, yeah.
But keeping with the ape theme, War for Planet of the Apes mm-hmm. is on here. I think the new Planet of the Apes series is fantastic.
You'd be hard pressed to find a better trilogy. You know, everything has to be a trilogy these days.
Yeah.
You ask me what's the best trilogy of the past, I don't know, whatever, 5, 10 years, whatever it is. Like, it's hard to not say those three movies.
War for Planet of the Apes, what I loved about it is that it was absolutely nothing like what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I went into it thinking it was going to be one thing, and then it just surprised me at so many different places along the way, mm-hmm. but in such satisfying ways, not like these cheap kind of reveal ways,
right?
That I loved it. I loved every minute that I watched it. I loved what it did for this particular world, mm-hmm. in terms of where they left it. If they wanted to do more, they can. Yeah. But yep. I thought Woody Harrelson was great. I mean, he's
great. Yep.
I mean, he just took this role, and I mean, in there was so much of a chance that it could just devolve into pure camp. And he didn't treat it that way at all. And I just thought it was fantastic.
Yep, I agree. It's on mine as well. I mean, yeah, you know, not like you said, you thought based on even the trailers, I felt like the trailers were sort of mm-hmm. honestly ended up being like, sort of trolling us.
Because, yes, exactly. Because, well, and even the name, like, even the name, yeah, kind of, right, you know.
Right, exactly. And how it played out was perfect. I loved
it. Yeah. Especially nowadays when sometimes with certain movies, you're like, well, I don't need to go because I saw the trailer. You know, to have something where based on the trailers or you go to a movie and half of the things in the trailer are left on the cutting room floor. Yes. You know, it was a nice surprise to go into something thinking it was one thing based on what the trailers was and then have it be something completely different, but better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. All right. So next for me, is my favorite comic book movie of the year. And it's one of our most popular episodes. We had a guest on the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That is Wonder Woman.
Yes. Mine too. My Wonder favorite Woman. Comic book movie. Yep.
Fucking fantastic. The nitpick that I read that I could sort of maybe see or agree with, but it didn't bother me at all, was that the final villain, the final fight,
yes,
was too video gamey or whatever.
Yes.
Didn't bother
me. I just wish they hadn't stayed with the casting. That's all. Yeah. That was my only wish. If they had done the exact same thing, but then they just didn't have David Llewellyn as him, I would have been. But even then, when I watched it the second time, because I knew it was coming, I was like, right, don't care.
Yep. I fucking love it. I love it from start to finish. I've seen it several times. I remember, because you know how it is with me with the video game things, and everybody knows I'm a DC guy, and I don't shy away from that. And of course, I was going to enjoy this if it was anything better than hot garbage, which thankfully it was much better than that. Was, you know, I don't know if my responses are correct, but when that first fight happened on the mascara or whatever, and I goddamn teared up.
Yeah, me too.
Just like,
for me, when she gets out of the trench, and not just it's everything before that, because that is Diana right there. That whole sequence, and that was the thing that I loved the most about this movie, is that I felt like they nailed her.
It's I never would have thought that, because, you know, I like Wonder Woman. She's fine. I've read the comic when a writer I liked was on it, but it's never been a book that I've always picked up. And so for me to have enjoyed this and have hit me the way it did, there was no doubt in my mind, even having not seen Justice League or anything else or even any of the Marvel flicks, this was my comic movie of the year.
Yeah. And it's the only comic book movie I have on this list, to be honest.
Gotcha. Mine, the only other one on mine was Logan, and I guess you could count.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Logan was on mine too. Yeah, but that, yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, I, for some reason, I feel like they're different. I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
No, I agree. On a similar note, because it's war, hands down the most intense cinematic experience for me all year long was Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't bought it for home. My wife wants to see it, and she's like, "Well, you're gonna buy it, right?" And I was like, "Yeah," but there is something about seeing this movie in IMAX.
Yeah,
the sound being the way it is, the screen being the way it is, that I can't recreate that at home, and I feel like it's such an important part of the experience that I almost feel like if I can't recreate it at home, then what's the point?
Yeah.
But I mean, you want to talk about from the minute the screen, like the movie starts until the minute it ends, just this feeling of what is going to happen next, just this intensity, you know, this kind of edge of your seat, like white knuckle, and mm-hmm. it earns it legitimately. There's no fakery or trickery. It's just three different stories in different timelines. You know, one's over mm-hmm. the course of a couple days, one's over the course of a couple hours, or I think it's a couple weeks, couple days, couple hours, whatever.
The point is
all of these events all coming down to this one moment, and you see mm-hmm. as it skips between the different timelines how it's going to come down. Fucking amazing. From a technical perspective, between this and one other movie on the list – which mm-hmm. I think we both probably have, but very different from a technical perspective. I would have a hard time picking. I think that, I mean, it was just amazing. And to have a movie set, a historical movie that is that exciting, but also technically that proficient, I think is fucking fantastic.
Yep.
And I would see it again in the theater. Like if my wife was like,
"Yeah, wow,
that
same
sounds
here.
Really good. We should go again." I would be like, "Yes, let's go. No questions asked."
Yep. Yeah, that's one of those. I agree. It's definitely a theater experience, and it would be hard. I haven't seen it since the theater. I haven't bought it yet either. I will, but that's you're never going to be able to recreate that. All right, let's see. What am I going to do next? I'll go with Gerald's Game. That that one sort of came out of nowhere for me a little mm-hmm. bit. I think I wasn't expecting. I thought I'd like it. I like the director. I had no idea how good it was going to be, and I hadn't read the book, so I knew
it's better than it had any right to be. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, like I had no expectation going into it, and. And man, it does not waste any time. Like it gets to it, and it is fucked up. it was so well acted. I thought the story was great. The gore was good. There's not a lot, but what was there was
when
just
it happens.
Fucking cringe inducing gore.
Yeah.
The ending is a little weird, I think, for people. I thought it was cool.
It was true to the book. Yeah. That was the first thing I did.
That's another thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I, again, having not read it, but I'll give them credit for sticking to as close to the book as apparently it did. But yeah, I just thought it was fucking a great movie.
Yeah. And Netflix original. All right. So for me, this next one was one that I didn't know what it was going to be. And then I watched it, and it ended up being different than I thought it was, but I still loved it. And that is Colossal.
Yeah.
So Anne Hathaway and what's his face? I can't remember his name.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. So you think it's going to be this movie about this drunk girl who channels a monster in, you know, South Korea, and it ends up being a movie about toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And it was great. I thought the premise was fantastic. I thought it was extremely well acted. everything about it. And it was yeah. I loved it. I thought that it was a very like an original idea, which yeah. is sometimes, you know, kind of hard to come by. But then they full on committed to it.
Yep. Well, man, I mean,
and just went with it.
I knew, like, any time you see Nacho Vigalondo, or however you pronounce it, like attached to a movie, I already know it's not going to be what I expected, and it's going to yeah. blow me the fuck away. And Colossal yeah. was exactly that.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. I you know, and the funniest thing for me to do is to go and read like Amazon reviews and shit.
I know, me too, right? Like,
something like that. And I just shake my head.
And they're just like, what?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I watched.
This was a terrible Godzilla movie. Was one of the reviews I saw.
I watched The Wall, which is a really John Cena. I know you're not a big John Cena fan, but it's well worth watching. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like 88 minutes. My favorite part of The Wall was reading the reviews, the user reviews of The Wall. Like if that was also 88 minutes, I think it would be better than right. The Wall itself.
All right, let's see here. Let's see. Let me go down and see what I haven't talked about. Mine are so out of order. Yeah, all right, we'll do this. All right, so the next one for me is the newest movie from one of my favorite directors of all time, Edgar Wright, and that is Baby Driver.
Yes.
Baby Driver was damn near perfection in every aspect.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is fucking outstanding. I love the story. The driving. I'm not a big car person.
Yep.
Love the driving. I loved all of it. Like it's just it had elements. It's not your typical Edgar Wright movie, but it's like he's one of those guys that can make me like shit that I wouldn't typically like.
Right.
And it was so cool that it was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were things I recognized, and of course, probably more you recognized than I did. But it's one of those things I could watch it 100 times and I'd never be tired of it.
Yeah. And John Hamm in a surprising role.
Yes.
Like, you know, the Jamie Foxx role, I was like, yeah, it could go either way. You know,
right.
I mean, he but John Hamm, I thought he was great and yeah. not what I would expect from him.
Right.
Kevin Spacey, you know, you've seen that from him before. I mean, he did a good job. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I agree with you. Just very well done, a very well choreographed, and I mean, the driving was just amazing. And the opening, you know, the opening scenes tell you everything you need to know about this kid.
Yep.
And then the rest of the movie doesn't falter from that at all. Like they don't set right. him up to be someone that he's not. Like I thought it was fantastic.
And even then, like it's fantastical as some of it is, it has a real legit ending. Like it makes yeah. sense. You know yes. what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep.
So everything from start to finish, it just works, and it's fantastic.
Yep. All right, so I'm starting to narrow mine down. I guess without even realizing it, I was narrowing them down to my favorites.
I'm doing the same thing.
So my next one is The Last Jedi, which I was kind of surprised.
Okay.
And the reason being that, again, when we talk about movies that make us have a lasting impression.
Yeah.
And it's not just because it came out recently, so that's what people are talking about. It's that my ideas of Star Wars, I've thought a lot about them since this movie came out, and not like in a bad way. Like this has made me kind of rethink what I wanted to see from a Star Wars movie, mm-hmm. you know, what I expected to see and build upon previous things. And also be excited for where they could potentially go in the future. And more yeah. than, you know, Force Awakens did that, but mostly from thank God, you know?
Right, yeah, right.
you know, type of perspective. Like, this makes me go, I think the narrative choices they made open up more interesting choices for the future, and I can't wait to see what those things end up being.
Same here. Like I talked about on the last episode, it's the same way for me. Like, I had to see it more than once too, because like I said, the first viewing was such a jarring experience that I was glad we waited to talk about it as long as we did, or as the schedule, you know, had played out. But you're exactly right. Like, it's like, who the fuck knows? Because it, as they preached over and over again, you know, you kill the past, and that's very much what the movie did. And it's like, well, now who the fuck knows? And that's exciting, you know.
It is, absolutely is. Yep. Well put.
All right. So, we're getting down to the wire here. Next one for me that I'll talk about, and it's been talked about since it came out. It's a phenomenon. It's Stephen King's It.
Yes. Can't wait to buy it. Can't wait to buy it.
Mine was waiting for me in the mailbox when I got off work Tuesday. I could not fucking wait to get home and open it, put it in the Blu-ray player, watch it again. I have not gotten into the bonus features yet, but that fucking movie is just a fucking joy from start to finish. It's fucked
Thank
up as
you,
some of the things
Stranger
are.
Stranger Things.
But holy shit. Yes. Yeah. Thank God for Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Because the influence is undeniable, and yet somehow it's still faithful. It's almost like Stephen King time traveled, watched Stranger Things, went back and wrote a fucking book. Because,
well, right. I mean, I think, but it all builds, right? Like, Stranger Things builds on It.
Sure, sure.
And then It builds on Stranger, you know.
Right, right. But man, what a fucking movie. It's so good. You know, all the respect of the world to Tim Curry, but fucking Bill Skarsgård is Pennywise. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I goddamn love his performance. I think it's fucking phenomenal. I don't care what people bitch about this movie. I will never care what people bitch about. I don't know why you don't like it. I don't want to know why you don't like it.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to change my mind, because I fucking love it.
Right. Absolutely. I agree. 100%. All right. So I'm down to 1, 2, 3, 6. And it's gonna be hard pressed to pick, like, oh, this is, you know, like, we're gonna start getting to where the ratings kind of meld. But It Comes at Night, probably one of my favorite horror movies this year, if not, if you can call it that.
Right.
The like, when I watch horror movies, very rarely do I feel something while I'm watching it.
Okay.
Usually I feel something afterwards. I'll go, oh, like, I'll think about it, whatever. And this movie, the dread that you feel, just how it just steadily and slowly increases over the course of the movie. What's the movie about? I have no idea. Like,
right.
What, like, I mean, do you have a reason to feel that? Like, I just, when you talk about movies that end up, like, getting a reaction out of you, and maybe I've seen some people that are just like, oh, it was a waste of time. And I know that's all, like, you know, whatever, like, it either hits you or it doesn't, but
right.
I remember watching it and just being physically, like, feeling physically stressed.
Yeah.
Like, same. Like, and that, God damn it. Like, why do we?
How often does
movies?
That happen? Yeah. How often do you get that?
Yeah.
You know, how often does a movie where almost, and let's be perfectly honest, not a lot happens.
Not a lot. Okay? Exactly.
But the atmosphere is so fucking well done. It's so good that you're physically uneasy at what could happen.
I felt like very much like The Witch was like, that's what it kind of reminded me of.
I love The Witch.
Is just this anticipation of something horrible happening.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. The Witch is my favorite movie of what, 2015, 16, whatever that came out. That was my number one, hands down. Like, I love that movie.
Yeah. So It Comes.
But yes, It Comes at Night was fantastic. All right. Let's see. So I'll do, let's do Raw next.
Yes.
Raw. was Raw was a movie that I knew I would like. I had no idea it would be as good. I thought, you know what, this is going to be good. No idea. Like, if you force me to put numbers on this, Raw is probably 3.
Yeah.
On the year for me. One of my favorite episodes we recorded also, because talking to you, I thought about things that I didn't catch, or we sort of played off each other, I thought, really well on that one. But my God, probably.
I think Raw was interesting because I forgot that a lot of the reaction I first read about it was from a festival crowd.
Yeah.
Festival crowds, they don't watch the same movies you and I watch.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. So to them, something that you and I might be like, yeah, whatever, is like, oh my God. But yet at the same time, maybe our reaction to this while watching it may not have been as strong. But goddamn, if at the end you didn't feel the same way.
My God. The best probably ending to any movie I saw this year. It just, my God, man, punched me right in the fucking gut. And I just sat there staring at
Chris. Yeah, me too.
I was like, fuck.
I remember telling my wife, I was like, and then, and she's like, why do you watch these movies? And I was like, explain it. Like, I tell, because we walk the dogs every day. And so I'll tell her, like, what I've watched, and she, I swear, the look she looks at me, I was like, this is not a conversation we could have had while we were dating. Like, well, you're locked in. You can't go anywhere now.
Right. Yeah, Raw's one of those things. If you, if somebody doesn't know you that well, it's one of those fun things to put on if you're meeting someone and there happens to be a movie on in the background or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had no idea that veterinary school was such a hellhole.
Jesus,
my God!
Either.
I was like, I always thought it'd be cool to be a vet because you get to spend your day with like dogs and cats. I didn't know you had fucking got the shit hazed out of you.
Yeah,
Jesus, French veterinarians, my God! Yeah, it is intense.
Yeah, they're on a whole other level, man.
All right, so this next one for me, one of my favorite movies of this year, and in large part because of one, Satanic Possession freaks me the fuck out, and two, I was so worried over the course of this movie as to what this guy was going to do to his family, but The Devil's Candy. I think that the past few years we've had some superlative Satanic Possession movies, and so Black Coat's Daughter was one of them. Oh shit, what was the one kind of set in the 70s with the babysitter, the Devil's House or something, like House of the Devil?
House of the Devil.
Yeah, and Devil's Candy I thought was fantastic. I loved it. Loved everything about it. I was totally freaked out the entire time thinking this guy was going to murder his family. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that's on my list also. It actually is my favorite movie this year. Perfectly comfortable saying that. I thought that the thing it did the best, as you talked about, you actually cared about the family, and it was the characterization. Thought that was phenomenal. Loved the imagery. Loved the the performances are fantastic.
Prue Taylor Vance, I mean, is always amazing, but
right.
I thought he was fantastic. Like in this, he was great. I mean, just phenomenal.
Yeah. Ethan Embry, you know, the reinvention that he's having here lately is such just a delight. You know, I think that I love when actors do that. But yeah, this one's easily my favorite movie this year.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. All right, so left. Yeah, I got two. I have three actually also. So I'll do this next one. I'll do I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all about that movie when I was looking through.
Well, it came out so early, and but until I saw Devil's Candy, this was my favorite movie of the year.
Great movie.
Great movie. I loved the story. I love Macon Blair. I don't care what he does. I don't care if he only wrote it. I don't care if he's only in it for 2 seconds. I fucking love Macon Blair. I love Blue Ruin. I love The Green Room. Blue
Ruin is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Green Room was fucking fantastic. Murder Party is hilarious. Like, I love Macon Blair, dude. And so when I caught wind of this, I watched it on Netflix. And I also what's Frodo's name? Elijah Wood, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I've so enjoyed the reinvention of him. Like, it's so fun to watch him in this movie because he is fucking hilarious. Like, God, when they go to get her laptop back and he's throwing ninja stars and shit.
Yep.
And he hits that dude on the front porch with a morning star. He's like, what the fuck did you hit me with? He's like, morning star. It's so fucking good. And I love how it goes from this poor woman who's just fed up with everybody's shit. And I'll be goddamned if I don't relate to this person.
Yeah, right.
And then how fucking off the wall it gets. And it turns into like this sort of a crime movie. And oh, God, it's so good. I love it so much.
I think a great double feature would be that and I Am Not a Serial Killer.
I tell you what, I thought of this too also. I thought of I Don't Feel Home and God Bless America, the Bobcat Goldthwait. Holy shit, would that be a fun double feature?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Yep. That's funny. All right. So for me, number three is John Wick 2. I read something and I was talking about it with a guy at work where they said Keanu Reeves is the greatest action hero movie of this generation. And he laughed and I said, you realize he does all of that himself, right?
Right.
Like all the stuff in The Matrix. Yeah, it was wire work. He did that himself. Mm-hmm. All of the stuff in John Wick. He does that himself. So those long in John Wick 2, which just takes what John Wick built and expands upon it.
Yeah.
Those long tracking shots of him doing 10, 15, 20 action movements, whether they be shots or combat moves in a row. Mm-hmm. The reason they can do those long tracking shots is because Keanu Reeves at 52 fucking years old does all that shit himself.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think, and I mean, I think that John Wick and John Wick 2, now there might be better Kung Fu movies. There might be better, whatever, in terms of just the action movies like that you and I grew up with when you're talking, when Schwarzenegger was king, when you're talking Die Hard, maybe kind of the sunset of Chuck Norris,
sure,
but also those movies, and you pick John Wick and John Wick 2 and the things that they do, the driving, the shooting, the combat, and you put it all on the shoulders of one guy.
Right.
I mean, what is better? Like, what is better?
You're right. Especially if you're talking American. Absolutely.
Right. And I mean, the fact that it takes just a little bit of John Wick and it expands upon the mythology of what it means to be in a, like the economy. Like, I loved the scenes when he goes to the sommelier who's telling him about weapons, and he goes to the tailor, and he goes to the map maker, and you realize that it's not just a hotel. Like, there's a whole industry built around. Like, I loved it.
So I will say, like, I'm not the world's biggest fan of Part One.
Really?
No, I watched it and I was like, you know, it was okay. I thought the ending was pretty weak. The villain, I thought.
Oh, sure. They ran out of money.
Right.
We've talked about this before. He's this badass, and then he's like knife fights an old guy.
Right. And I was like, no, wait a minute. But we did talk about this. I forgot about that. But yeah, like, I feel like, for everything that John Wick 1 sort of didn't do as well as I would have liked, Part 2 expanded on what I was interested in, which was the hotel and all that stuff.
Yep.
I felt like the story was better. I was more into the plot, and it set up what I hope will be an amazing part three. So yeah. I loved part two, but part one, I'd like to go back and watch one and two together, which I still haven't done. And I think I'll have a better appreciation for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, absolutely. Fantastic movie. All right. So I'm down to, I have two left.
Me too.
So let's do, well, let's do Brawl. We'll go ahead and do Brawl on Cell Block 99.
Good. I fucking watched that today.
Yeah. Oh my God. Great movie. Love Bone Tomahawk. Don't like Westerns. Loved Bone Tomahawk. And
how do you not like Westerns?
I like a few Westerns, not many. I don't know. It's just not my thing, man. But you know, it has Kurt Russell and I'm going to watch it. So I watched this Bone Tomahawk movie and holy shit, it blew me away. Fucking loved it. And so of course, I'm going to watch anything. I can't think of the guy's name, which is embarrassing, but anything he does after Bone Tomahawk, you could sign me up for. And that Brawl in Cell Block 99 was his next movie. I was like, okay, this is more my speed. But holy shit, was it good? Like it's the most realistic violence I have seen in a movie, maybe ever, definitely in years. Like it's just so, it's fucking brutal. There's gore, but it's realistic. And Vince Vaughn is, again, I keep talking about one of these guys who's reinvented himself, and like he's not who you would expect to be in this movie, and he's so good. Like I don't want anybody else to be in the movie.
Yeah, it reminded me of Vincent D'Onofrio in the Daredevil movies.
Yes, right.
Like if you watched Vincent D'Onofrio in like Law and Order, and then you're like, wait, what? I mean, it was very similar to that, but it didn't feel like it was a guy trying to reinvent himself. It just felt like it felt natural.
Yeah.
For him to be this guy. Like who, like when I was watching it, I was like, who else would be it?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anybody. I was like, well, this guy would be better. He just slipped into it and was just perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And I mean, and this was a movie where is there violence in it? Yes. But in terms of like the hard stuff, it takes a while to get there, which is good, because when it finally does show itself, you're like, oh, God damn.
Yeah.
Very
like, good. It's one of those things where, like, if you watch somebody like any other sort of movie where they say it's hyper-violent, it's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. This movie, when people tell you about the violence, you feel it.
Well, like, for me, hyper-violence is not just intensity, but it's like how much violence there is,
right?
And this movie, the violence, like I said, there's plenty of fight scenes, but the really violent stuff is a small subset of that, so that when it happens, it's much more impactful.
Yep.
Absolutely. But yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned it, because I was trying to get shit to watch to get Under the Wire.
Yeah.
and this one I got Under the Wire, and it is – I'm glad I did. I mentioned before for Dunkirk, I said that it shares – I felt that that movie shared on a technical level a credit with only one other movie this year, and that was The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful film. Guillermo del Toro does not ever disappoint. Like I can't think of a time when I've watched one of his movies and been disappointed by it. But
no, not at
this
all.
Movie was it was just great from start to finish. I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, it's fantastic. It's a love story. She's like, but he's a fish, man. I was like, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, it doesn't matter. It's a fairy tale. It's a love story. It's a spy story. It's so many different things told by a guy that is absolutely one of the best filmmakers of his generation. Like,
absolutely.
Just hands down. Like, there's no question. Mm-mm. That if you could take something like you watch something like Pan's Labyrinth, which is way the fuck out there.
Right.
But then you take that kind of that aesthetic, not just the creepy aesthetic, but the storybook aesthetic, and you turn it into a love story between a woman and fucking Abe Sapien.
Yeah. That's
and I mean,
if I had to absolutely, if you made me say one thing I didn't like as much as I did the rest of it, it's probably that I thought he looked a little bit too much like Abe.
But it, in a way, though, it makes sense because Hellboy was all about the way that he wrote the Hellboy movies was very much this idea that Hellboy, he couldn't change who he was.
Right.
He was still a freak and a monster, but he still wanted to be seen as something that that you could love.
Yeah.
And that was such a big central part to this. So like I was okay with that because to me, him being a fish man tied back into that idea. And the reality is the people who – I mean there's those of us who love his work and is going to go see it anyway. But there's also an audience outside of this movie who probably have never seen a Hellboy movie.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. Like this one it's – this one I think out of probably all of his movies would appeal to the broadest of audiences.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's God damn, like I hate that it took me so long to watch it, but it's just, I don't understand how this didn't get a wider release than it did. Yeah. I really don't, because it's so good. Michael Shannon's so fucking good.
Michael Shannon is what I mean, he's just he's great in everything.
Sure.
I would be afraid to meet him in person.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would too. Like,
but yeah.
Because yeah.
And respect to a woman who takes the time every morning to rub one out before work. I had that kind of time.
I'm talking about. Like, what's up? Like, yeah, that was sort of like, all right.
But she was taking a bath. I was like, she's taking a bath, and then she put the foot up on the tub. I was like, oh yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I was like, all right, we're going there right off the bat. You strap in here.
Like, yeah. No, I thought it was fantastic. I loved every part about it.
I did too. One of my favorite, absolute favorite things about it was the time period. And I don't know if it ever actually, I don't remember if it said, but it was obviously what, 50s or maybe early 60s?
Early 60s, yeah, I think, because they talked about the space race and how Russians had sent a dog into space. So, yeah.
But yeah, like, oh my God. And there's not. I don't feel like there was one single second of wasted
time.
Not one frame didn't make sense. It's as much of a masterpiece that I've seen this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was it for me.
That it for you?
Yeah.
I got one more. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Okay, I think I know what it is.
What do you think it is?
Get Out.
Yes! Get Out, absolutely. I try not to tie my own thoughts into what like the big public zeitgeist is.
Yep.
But Get Out, when I went to see it in the theater, and maybe it was just like a shared experience thing, I had no idea what I was getting into. It freaked me the fuck out, and I loved it. I loved every bit about it. I loved the setup. I loved the humor. I loved the horror. I loved everything. And then I watched it again and I loved it even more.
I need to watch it. I still haven't seen it again yet.
It's actually worse the second time around. And I mean worse as in like it's freakier the second time around.
Gotcha.
Just every bit about it. I think it's a fantastic movie. I think that it's one that you could watch with people who don't like gore. Like I could watch this with my wife and she would be okay with it until the end.
Yeah.
And then the little bits that like you kind of uncover afterwards, and just the way, there's just so many like almost like layers to it that the second time around you watch it, you see again that, it's my absolute favorite.
Again, for me, like we talked about it on the episode, the one thing for me that took me out of it was I knew what was going to happen, and I hated that.
And I didn't. And I could see how that would definitely take away from it.
And again, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I have what I'd say 16 movies. You could replace this any of the first probably 10 I talked about with Get Out. It's a great movie. It's just, I don't know. I guess I heard too much about it. And then having watched trailers and this and that, I was like sort of thought I knew what was going to happen. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, the performances are great. It was definitely creepy. Definitely a great movie. It's just, for whatever reason, it didn't get me the way I thought it would. And that's,
yeah.
And I shouldn't hold that against it. That's my fault, not the movie's fault. You know, it's totally my fault, but I just didn't quite make the list for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny that you knew it though.
Yeah. I was
you're like, wait a minute.
Like, it's funny because my wife, she hates watching trailers because she'll see somebody like in a blue shirt and then she'll be watching the whole movie going,
oh,
I haven't
yeah.
seen him in the blue shirt.
Right.
So I know he's still alive or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm right.
like, what? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because when you mentioned that I didn't. They came out with a new Black Panther trailer and I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I don't want to know anything more about this movie. But then I heard they had new Kendrick Lamar music in it and I was like, okay, well, I have to watch it. So, but it's that, you know, that's why for the most part, like, I'll watch the first trailer, like, I'll watch the teaser.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch like the first quote unquote official trailer and then that's it. I don't watch anything else because I don't want to figure anything out. I don't want things to get spoiled for me. I don't want to sit there going, well, wait a minute, we didn't see that. So
I'm to the point where I almost prefer things like Brawl and Cell Block, where all I knew was the director. And I knew that I fucking loved the last movie. And that's all.
Same thing with me.
You know?
Yeah, like you had told me, hey, this guy did Bone Tomahawk and I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can kind of, based on just the name of it, you kind of go, all right, well, I think I have an understanding.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, I like to just go into things without knowing anything. So.
Yep.
Cool. Well, that's it. So that's 2017 with a bow on it. That's games and movies. TV didn't fare nearly as well. We don't have anything to talk about there.
I didn't. Man, I hardly watched anything.
I still watch a ton of TV, but nothing was nearly as good as any of this shit.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what will be in the next couple weeks. We'll figure something out. I would like to see Proud Mary. I love Taraji Henson.
Yeah.
But I saw Atomic Blonde up until this show, and I wasn't very impressed by it. So I hope Proud Mary ends up being better.
Yeah.
But for me, the next big thing is definitely Black Panther. But, you know,
we'll
need full time with something between now and then. That's not until February. So, but hopefully whatever it is we end up doing, you'll be here with us. Of course, we appreciate everybody who watches the streams and listens to the shows and all that good stuff. So as we go into 2018, we look forward to spending some more time with you here. And we will be back in 2 weeks. And we'll figure something out, as we always do. So for myself and Mitch, excuse me, this has been episode 39 of Divided by Werewolves. We hope everybody has a great next couple weeks. And we will talk to you again soon. So thanks again. Good night. And have a good evening.